The kingdom of heaven is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one he gave 5 valuable coins, and to another gave 2, and to another he gave 1. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. After the man left, the servant who had 5 valuable coins took them and went to work doing business with them. He gained 5 more. In the same way, the one who had 2 valuable coins gained 2 more. But the servant who had received the 1 valuable coin dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 valuable coins came forward with 5 additional coins. He said, "Master, you gave me 5 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 5 more." His master replied, "Excellent, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 valuable coins. Look, I've gained 2 more." His master replied, "Well done, you are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come celebrate with me." Now the one who had received 1 valuable coin came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours."
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many gifts in this congregation and how they have been used to build your kingdom, especially as we celebrate and think of the tutoring program. We just thank you for the vision that was listened to, for the vision and then the obedience to follow that call, and then just the many gifts that were brought together to serve you and to serve the children in our neighborhood. I just pray that you would bless the gifts of teaching and preaching in our team today for the ways that Scott and Karen and Joel and others have been faithful in hearing your call and using the gifts for kingdom work. Lord, bless and guide all of us this hour as we share and celebrate experiences and encourage us to use our gifts and talents and resources in kingdom work. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Good morning. So today we celebrate the TMC tutoring program and what God has done in our midst and in our community through that program for the last 17 years. It's a day of celebration that we come together to give thanks for what God has done. And it's a day of also letting go and releasing and naming that a good program has run its course and that God's Spirit is moving in some new directions or in some different directions. The parable and the text that we have today is the parable from Matthew 25, often called the parable of the talents. It's called the parable of the talents because in other translations of the Bible, the valuable coins that's spoken of in our text that we read from the Common English Bible today are called talents. It's a currency, right? A currency from the ancient world. We have dollars, there's euros, there's whatever else. There were talents back in Jesus' day. And there's this parable, as you read that it unfolds here, that there's this, the kingdom of God is like this master who goes on a long trip. Now, Jesus is telling this parable as he is in Jerusalem for his final week on earth. It's his Passion Week. And he's been already discussing with his disciples that, you know, what's going to happen with him with the crucifixion, but that he will rise again, and then he'll, you know, ascend into heaven. And especially in John, in John's gospel, we read about how Jesus is telling his disciples, you know, "I must go away from here, but I won't leave you abandoned. I won't leave you forsaken. Another will come to you, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, And so Jesus in John's gospel especially works with his disciples and tries to tell them what this is going to be like, that it'll appear like Jesus is away, but his spirit remains. And so in this parable too, Jesus is telling this story about this master who goes on a long trip, and it's meant as a parable to teach about what is faithful discipleship and what it means to faithfully follow Jesus when, you know, he's not directly here among us, like this master who goes on a trip. And so, we have this parable in which the master gives 5 talents, or 5 valuable coins, to one servant, 2 valuable coins to another servant, and 1 valuable coin to a final servant. And there's no, I mean, maybe there's some different amounts here, but there's nothing good or bad about necessarily getting the different amounts, because if we actually understand what the currency of a talent is, we realize that all of these gifts, or all these things that the master gives, are exorbitantly huge amounts of money. Okay, so just as in our currency, we have pennies, and you add enough pennies, and you get enough dollars, and you so on and so forth, it worked the same way back then. So a talent was worth about 10,000 denarius, or 10,000 denarii, you know, the plural, it's a weird word. So a talent was worth 10,000 denarii, okay? And a denarii was what a typical worker earned for a day's wage. So even 1 talent is 10,000 days' wage, right? If you divide that by 365 years, it's about 20 years of salary, okay? That's even 1 talent is a huge gift, right? This huge responsibility, or this huge giving that the master has given to all of his servants, okay? And as we think about talents or these valuable coins, yes, literally they're money, it's currency, but we can also think of talents more broadly, as Lynn has alluded to in the call to worship, of time, energy, resources, interests, right? Those things too. I mean, it relates to our English word talents as well, both in the currency sense and in the English word of like our gifts and abilities, right? This master has given out tons of talents. Well, I mean, I guess it's just 1 talent or 2 talents or 5 talents, but it's tons of money, right? It's tons of gifts. It's tons of ability. And also in the some early interpreters of this passage and this parable of the talent in the early church also understood talents as work, as representative of one's work, right? Sort of the wage that you get for the work that you do. Talents can also represent the work that one is called to do and one is given to do. And so we could also read this parable and saying, like, when the master went away, he gave his servants work to do, a job to do, a task. And represented by the amount of money of a talent, it's a big job, it's an important job. And so as the parable unfolds, we see that there are some different responses that the servants have to doing the work that their master has given them to do, or using the money that the master has given them to do. 2 of them received what was given to them, and then went out and went to work, and gained more talents. All right, so we can think about that in the money sense, right? He gained 5 more talents, but also in the sake of the parable and the symbolism of the parable that it's work, right? He did something that benefited the master's household. Right? He did something that was beneficial to the kingdom of God. Right? This servant, whatever this servant did, paid dividends, so to speak. It was worthwhile in God's kingdom. 2 servants went out and they did that. They went out, they went to work, and they gained. And then this contrasts with the approach of the final servant, right? This servant received, but he just sort of went away, and he dug a hole, and he hid the coin in the ground. And if you know the rest of the parable, we didn't quite read the whole thing, but the master's words to this servant at the end is that he's not really pleased with what this servant did, right? He's like, well, you're sort of lazy, right? And he says that in sharper terms in this parable. Notice the contrast. Two servants going out actively, engaged, willing to work, willing to use what has been given to them, taking risks. And then the one servant who doesn't. The one servant who digs in, who plays it safe, who avoids danger, who avoids risks, but then in the same way avoids the adventure of joining in the master's work, misses out on participating in the household and the affairs of what the master is about. And in fact, whenever this servant, the master finally does come back, and this servant comes to him and he says, "Here, you know, take what is yours." As if to say, just, you know, he's washing his hands of the task, of the responsibility, or perhaps maybe even worse, saying, "I don't want anything to do with this money, just have it back, right? I don't want it." So there's two different approaches, two different tasks, or two different ways of dealing with the talents that these servants have been given. But as we see in the point of the parable, is not to faithful discipleship, and the point of the parable is not to dig in and hide and stay safe, but to go out and to reveal and to use and to shine forth. And we think of also Jesus' teaching in an earlier part of Matthew's gospel, where he says to the disciples that were gathered around him, "You are salt of the world, but what happens if the salt loses its saltiness?" And Jesus says, "You are like a city on a hill. Like, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but you reveal that so that it can give light to the whole room." Right? So in the same way, let your good works shine forth so that people may praise your Father in heaven. The point isn't to conceal and bury and hide, but to shine forth, to hold out, to go out, to do the work, to use the talents. As I was reflecting on this parable, a quote came to mind that I think relates a lot to this. And this is a quote of the man in the arena. "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of the deed could have done them better. The credit belongs to the one who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deed, who knows great enthusiasm, the great devotion, who spends themselves in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end triumph of high achievement, or who at the worst, if failing, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." So this is a quote by Theodore Roosevelt. I know it from Brené Brown in her work, in her book called Daring Greatly. Two servants went out and dared greatly. One servant remained to hide the coin. Today, as we gather and as we reflect on this parable, and as we give celebration to what God has done through the tutoring program over the past 17 years, we give thanks that there were those among us who had vision and courage and passion for the work of the tutoring program, and that there were those among us who in other ways gave time or prayer or resources or devotion, that individuals in this congregation and collectively as a whole, for these past 17 years, we have been using our talents. Now, whether the job is big or small in our eyes, it is nevertheless, it's the work that God had given us to do. And there were faithful people in this congregation who went and did that work. Over 17 years of the tutoring program, approximately 300 students were tutored. Hundreds of volunteers served as tutors or in other capacities. Thousands of volunteer hours, all for the sake of loving God and loving our neighbor. All for the sake of trying to be salt and light in this place, in this neighborhood, to be a reflection of God's kingdom here in Toledo as it is in heaven. People have served faithfully. People have served in a way that they have gone out to do the deed, to do the work that was set before them. And so today is a day to give thanks to God for that, for what God has done in and through and among us in this time and in this place, and to also celebrate and to sit back and at the end of 17 years of labor as a congregation, to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servants." You have been faithful. Individually, men and women in this congregation have been faithful. Collectively, as a whole, we have been faithful. Well done. Certainly the work isn't done. Certainly it's not over. But this task is, this project is, well done. And so, to continue to give thanks to what God has done, I've asked Karen and Scott to share the stories of what they had seen God do up close and personal. Karen is one of the individuals who gave vision and leadership to starting this program, and then Scott, who has done so for the last 7 or 8 years. So Karen, I invite you up now, and I've simply just asked them in an open-ended way to share what they've seen God do through the tutoring program, and I have no doubt that we will be blessed in what they share.
On there I am, that God is all in for relationships, and using our talents is in investing in relationships. Karen Smith is over here, and I know it's really, really bad to ask somebody to stand up, but a lot of you don't know Karen Smith. Could you please stand up? Karen Smith and I had a seed of an idea to use this building and to work with children. Our initial idea was held up and protected, and within the support of this community was prodded with questions. It sent us out to find the answers to those questions, and we tried to determine what was the need of the broader community, and how could we begin to form authentic relationships by addressing those needs? At the time, our property sat on the border of two elementary school districts, Harvard and Kaiser. It's no longer like that. We have an elementary school right next door, but at the time, that's what happened. And when we went to the principals of those two schools, they responded that there was a need to help students in grades 1 through 3 who were at risk of failing reading. Toledo Public Schools agreed to provide busing to the students after school, and that seed of an idea being held up by this community was shaped and ultimately rooted into the tutoring program. The TMC tutoring became a place to introduce the love of reading to a population at risk of hating it. It became a place of safety where parents sent their children for after school care. And it became a place where teenagers learned about first job skills, applying, interviewing, receiving a paycheck. It became a place where adults from the community and from this community formed relationships and added to their Kids Say the Darndest Things bank. Here's one such story of Kids Say the Darndest Thing. There was a boy in first grade, and his name was Gage, and he had some social acceptance issues. And on the way over on the bus, I was told, he said the F word and the B word. So I had Gage sit down on the bench, and the other kids went off to snack, and I said, "Gage, I heard that you said the F word and the B word on the bus." And he said, "Yeah, and the A word." And I thought, oh my goodness, nobody ratted him out on the A word. And I said, "Wow." And he said, "And the Z word." And I thought, I wonder what the Z word is. So I said to Gage, what is the Z word? And he said, and I said, I knew I was taking a chance here, so you guys might say, why did you even ask? I said, what's the A word? And he said, and I said, what's the B word? And he said the B word. And I thought, okay, I'm stopping. I'm not going to ask him about the F word. I figured he knew those two. And I said, well, Miss Karen has a hard time with a swear word, too. She has a hard time with the SH word. Do you know that word? And he said, shut up. And I said, that's it. Shut up. I said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to work really hard at not saying the SH word, and you're going to work really hard at not saying the F word or the B word. Is that a deal? And he said, that's a deal. And every day when he'd get off the bus, he'd come right up to me and say, did you say the SH word? And I could honestly say, no, because I never say shut up. And I would say, did you say the F word or the B word? And he'd say, no. You know, it was just a very cool deal. Anyways, there are other stories and images that come to mind when I think on my tutoring years, and they all involve relationships. I have an image of a tutor named Paul, and I'm going to tell you another story of another tutor named Paul. They're not the same Paul, but this Paul was a businessman who volunteered through the Rotary, and the person he tutored was a boy named Damien. And they are both in this image, this businessman and this little Damien are out there in front flying a kite. And they are just amazed. And they're watching this kite fly. And does it have anything to do with reading? I don't know. They loved reading too. But they are just out there. And Damien's mom, I think her name was Rachel, came and just watched them fly this kite. And it's just a very cool image. Paul wasn't part of our congregation. He was part of Rotary, and I just think that's amazing. I have another image of Paul from our congregation, a brilliant tutor from church who did not grow up playing rocks, paper, scissors, and could not wrap his mind around that idea, and always said, what is this rocks, paper, scissors? Oh my goodness. But I can see Paul sitting with Karina Mahedi, and they are reading The Tale of Despero and just absorbed and amazed by the characters in this book. I have an image of Joe, my husband, talking sports and eating snacks with all these high schoolers from St. John's, from Rogers, primarily from Rogers, from St. John's, from St. Francis, from Notre Dame, from St. Ursula, from Central Catholic, just all sitting around eating chips, drinking pop, talking sports. And Joe just being an excellent manager, developing relationships with him while also making sure that the kids knew the expectations of the job. I have other images of people in the congregation like Karen Roop, while not interested or able to work in the tutoring program, develop relationships by running errands for us, organizing quilt shows, picking up food at the food bank. I have an image of Joe after a boy, his name was Junathan. He was part of our tutoring program for just a couple months. He was in first grade, and there was a scratching of there's something not right in the home. And sadly, Junathan died of child abuse. And when we found that out, we were just so devastated. We didn't find out. I mean, he died sometime in the winter, and Junathan wasn't part of our tutoring program anymore. But he had been part of us. He had been part of this group. And Joe had already had a stroke. He was in his wheelchair. And I just remember him sitting the kids down on the bench and just saying to the kids, and they don't even know if they knew what was going on at their school, that this boy, I'm sure that they were aware that Junathan had died, but maybe not the circumstances behind his death. And Joe just said, you do not have to be afraid here. If anybody ever comes into this building to hurt you, and the kids' eyes are like, maybe someone would come in, but, you know, Joe needed to say it for his own sake. He said, I will get out of this wheelchair, and I will protect you. You are safe in this building. And it was just a really difficult time during when Junathan died. And I will never forget that young boy's name, and I will always remember my responsibility, because I feel like I failed in a way. I should have called Child Protection Services just to say, I think there's something wrong there. The final image I want to share is just of Wednesday night meals. Many of the tutors would try to tutor on a Wednesday night so we could stay for the wonderful meals that were provided afterwards, community meals. People would bring bread and soup and salad, and the tutors from the congregation would just stay and just eat. Alice would be putzing around the kitchen, and it was wonderful. And then we would be talking to each other in relationship with each other, and then staying and praying in relationship with our God, who is the Lord of relationships.
Thanks for sharing all of those stories, Karen. Karen invited me to work with her at the tutoring program as her assistant at the start of 2010. I had already volunteered at the program on and off in previous years. Karen resigned as the director of the program at the end of the 2009-2010 school year. And I was excited when the church council invited me to become the new tutoring director that fall. Those first couple of years at the program saw a lot of transition. TPS changed the schedule so that the kids got out of school an hour earlier that year, and they changed their busing policy so that our students couldn't any longer ride the bus to the program. Then the next year, TPS reorganized its elementary schools to all be K-8s, and suddenly we had an elementary school next door to the church, because before that, McTighe had been a middle school. I remember that first school year, 2010-2011, as one of the busiest and most intense seasons of my life up to that point. It was my first time having the responsibility for running a program. There was a lot of planning, of training, of networking, of recruiting, of communication to do. There was also a lot going on in my personal life, and I had additional new responsibilities, both in church leadership and at the university. I experienced God's sustaining presence that year in a very tangible way that season. I thought often that year of the tradition that the 16th century Protestant reformer Martin Luther is supposed to have said that he had so much business to take care of, he had to spend extra hours at the beginning of the day in prayer first. I didn't feel I could succeed in all of my responsibilities without leaning heavily on God, and I experienced God come through for me. Of course, one of the primary ways that God cares for us in our lives is through the ministry of our sisters and our brothers. During my first 2 years as director of tutoring, Karen was very present alongside me and very supportive and helpful as I learned and adapted to the new role. I know that a lot of things changed with the way the program worked through that transition, but I experienced it as a really good transition, and I'm really thankful for all of the support that Karen gave me through that. And of course, I don't tutor the kids by myself. That first year, I had over 40 volunteers, sometimes as many as 14 or 15 there to help in a single afternoon, helping with 12 to 18 kids. The guidance office at Rogers High School that year sent me a flood of tutors that who were caring, high-quality tutors. Some of them put in more than 40 hours that year. One of them put in 100 hours of tutoring that year. Several of you in the congregation also gave your time and energy to serve the kids. That first year that I was the director, there were 10 members of Toledo Mennonite Church that were volunteering at the tutoring program. Throughout my 8 years running the tutoring program, I saw God at work through all of the volunteers' hard work, dedication, and their genuine love and care for the kids. I loved all the students I got to work with at tutoring over the years, but the ones that most remain in my mind are the families who had two or three siblings from the same family that attended for 3 or sometimes even 4 years in sequence at the program. And those families communicated to me how much they valued the tutoring program, how much the kids loved being part of it. For nearly all of those kids, there were tears in their eyes on their last day at the program at the end of their third grade year. Karen told a story a little bit ago about Paul with a student, Karina Mahedi. I think Karina and her brother Ishan were maybe still tutoring here as third graders my first year directing. I forget if maybe they had finished the year before. That's an example of a family that stayed connected to the tutoring program. Ishan, Karina's brother, was a tutor for me this year and last year. He's a student at St. John's now. And there are lots of other examples of kids that were students here and then came back and gave back to the program and tutored kids. I saw God at work creating community at the tutoring program. Karen's already talked about this, a community focused on service as all the volunteers came together and poured themselves into the kids. And a community of kids and tutors that really looked forward to being with each other, to seeing each other and having lots of fun together. Now, I'm a teacher and I love watching kids grow and develop and have aha moments when they gain confidence in their reading or when they've mastered a math skill. But even more than those academic pieces of the work, one of the things that was very meaningful to me about my work at tutoring over the years was how we were working together to teach communication and respect. I had a lot of conversations with students, helping them talk through their conflicts. I got to teach them that they were valued and respected by taking the time to listen to their side of the story, taking them seriously. I got to teach them to think about and communicate about their feelings, about what they wanted, about what was making them mad or upset. I got to walk them through talking with each other to name and describe their conflicts and to work towards making peace, or at least declaring a truce for a little while. I got to watch lots of teenagers develop their skill and their confidence and their own personal style of supporting the kids through conflict and communication too. And I'd like to think that God was at work through many moments like that, planting seeds of peace that might still shape in some small way how teens and adults as well as younger kids deal with their conflicts to this day. For 2.5 of the last 4 years of the program, I got to work with interns from Toledo Campus Ministry, Keisha Lane in the spring of 2015 and Katie Glover for the 2 subsequent school years. It was a real pleasure to watch God working in and through these 2 young women leaders as they developed their leadership gifts and built their confidence in working with teens and young kids. Katie's experience serving in ministry here was one of several leadership roles she had in the context of which she experienced God's calling her to ministry, and she's a seminary student now. God is good all the time. Even as time brings changes and endings, I've been anticipating the end of the tutoring program for a while now. When I started, I planned to serve as director for 5 years, and I've been blessed to be here for 8. In the last 2 years, I've noticed I've had less time and energy to give to the program as I've taken on additional teaching jobs and also the joyous responsibility of parenthood. The program has continued to have a real positive impact on kids and volunteers, but it's also been growing smaller. Enrollment this year was only 1/3 of the 20-plus students that we served 5 or 7 years ago. Our highest attendance days have gone down from 18 students in a day in 2010-2011, 19 in 2012-2013, down to just 9 in the past 3 years as our highest attendance days, and 7 this year. The support of the church in funding the program has stayed really strong, and I'm so grateful for all of the resources that you all have poured into the program sacrificially. But where 10 church members were tutoring in 2010-2011, 3 church members tutored this year. There are a handful of scripture passages that come to mind easily when I think about the tutoring program, and here's a couple of those. From the parable of the talents that was read today, you've been faithful over a little. Especially in recent years, it's felt like the tutoring program is a very small thing, but small things can have a really big impact. And it's been important for me to remember that faithfulness in what we're given, even when it's a small thing, is what really pleases God. And from 1 Timothy 4, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. And from Matthew 18, whoever welcomes a little child in my name welcomes me. And see that you don't look down on these little ones. By welcoming and serving young children at the tutoring program, we've served Jesus here. And by nurturing the servant leadership gifts of teens and young adults, we've also witnessed and participated in God's work in and through their lives. And that's a real privilege.